bad as it gets tonight. 5 seconds of overlapping music. We'll be fine. We had some violent storms roll through the foothills of the North Georgia Mountains about an hour and a half ago, 2 hours ago. I mean, really, we were powerless, internetless, televisionless, streamingless, ISDNless for just long enough to really freak us out. If that ever happens, see, since we are totally on our own, we have no network, we have no radio station that from which we operate. If that ever happens, if you tune in the Molloy program, there's nothing there. Whether it's XM or Sirius or the radio stations you listen to or the internet, it means we've been hit and hit hard, and we have no way of letting people know that. Obviously, if all the power goes out, which it did a couple of times tonight. We've got no outgo. I know, generator. Hog snot. Generator means nothing if you don't have phone service and, internet service and so on and so forth. So anyway, if that ever happens, you tune in and there's like nothing there. Probably at that point, Sirius XM and half our radio station affiliates will say, okay, that's enough and drop us. So, just so you know, it's not because, well, it might be because we were broken into by CIA agents who butchered us all into huge chunks of bloody talk show host meat, and it's all over. How betrayed are you feeling? Three things. The Obama administration is urging Congress to extend the controversial, I love it when I see that word, the controversial domestic surveillance law known as the USA Patriot Act. The Obama administration wants that to continue. Three provisions of it: roving wiretaps, roving electronic eavesdropping or wiretaps, access business records and track so-called lone wolf suspects with no known links to foreign power or terrorist groups. So the Obama Justice Department issued a letter yesterday asking Congress to renew provisions of that law. They're due to expire December 31st. I mean, that's just a starting point. The second, of course, is Obama's going to cave in. You know this is going to happen because if he doesn't, he will probably be, there will be an attempt on his life. He will cave in to the military industrial establishment and commit more and more and more troops to Afghanistan. That's coming. Mike Mullen testified, well, yesterday, today, whatever, chairman of the Joint Chiefs, in front of Congress, and using the kind of weasel words that is so familiar, is so expected of top military commanders. He more or less left the impression that, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of more U.S. troops are going to have to go to Afghanistan because, you know, we're trying to make sure that they are a viable, civilized democracy. So it's going to be a long haul, years and years and years, and thousands and thousands and thousands of more troops. Okay, that's number two. Now, Obama can stop this, of course, by saying, no, I don't think so. But you know what would happen then, don't you? Of course you do. And the third thing is this ridiculous-ass health insurance plan that Max Baucus had a press conference about today. And is it just me, or is it hard to understand him? I tried to listen to Max Baucus. He's one of those word eaters. You know what I mean? You'll be listening to a sentence and say, well, ladies and gentlemen, today I've... And then we decided to go ahead and chopulate the ministry. You know, and you're sitting there going, what? My hearing? No, it's not my hearing. It's the only person on television I've ever heard do that. Sounds like he's talking in tongues. If you liked the Bush administration's attitude toward universal health care, you're going to love this. Max Baucus's plan. No, by the way, no public option. No. So those are the three things. Are we ready to cry uncle yet? I think I am. I said the other day, this is just in my little tiny world. I don't know what's going on in your world, but in my little tiny world, I'm about to get off this train of being a supporter of the dregs, what's left of the Democratic Party. Sorry. And the Obama train. I really feel like I've been had. I really do. And not for the reasons that these dumbass Republican jerkwads, he's a commie, oh, he's a fascist. You know, screw you people. Go away. Go pound sand in your body orifices. Just get out of here. But I mean real betrayal on the issues that he campaigned on. Afghanistan, ending the war in Afghanistan. Wasn't that a primary declaration on his part? Getting our troops gone? I think I remember that. Real health care? Okay, he didn't talk about single payer. As a matter of fact, he steadfastly avoided talking about single payer. But this piece of garbage that even the the Republicans have added nothing. I think it's time for every Republican to be taken out to the town square, wherever the town square is anymore. I don't think we have any town squares anymore. And we should go back to France, 1790, and 1792, 1793, and just finish just go ahead and finish the job. Right? I mean, they're doing nothing. Republicans are doing nothing but being paid. They're being paid to do nothing. They're being paid. They're being health insured. They're being given retirement. They're being all kinds of package perks. They travel on the road all the way around the world free on our dime, you see, and they're doing nothing. Now, the French had enough of that when they overthrew the monarchy, and for the next couple of years, something called the Terror reigned, and until Napoleon was able to calm things down a little bit, right? But isn't it not time to bring the guillotines or whatever you use in lieu of guillotines? Isn't it time to bring it out and march all the Republican members of Congress? All of them. Oh, yes, Olympia Snowe and the other one. Yes, all of them. Bring them out and summarily, end their political careers. And as far as the Democrats are concerned, to hell with them. I'd make jest about the Republicans, but because they're such clowns, they're so bad. They're such a negative, cannibalistic force on this country. But the Democrats, I mean, what did we all work our asses off for this last election, right? To get a Democratic president, give him an enormous, in relative terms, majority in both the House and the Senate, where he could undo the damage done by 8 years of the Bush crime family, the real neo-Nazis. He could work with the leadership in the House and the Senate to expose once and for all through criminal investigations by the Justice Department exactly what these traitors did, what these Nuremberg war criminals did, Bush and Cheney and the rest of their crew, their real wrecking crew. No, not going to do that. And Nancy Pelosi wouldn't even consider impeachment. Harry Reid just stuck around with a thumb in his ass half the time. Look at with that dumb, "Hi, I'm from Nevada" look on his face. It's like in the meantime, in this huge vacuum, this huge leadership vacuum, this huge power vacuum, the Klan is now in full force. Glenn Beck, Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, Crazy Eyes, Michelle Malkin, all of them. The white Southerners and members of Congress, and not just Republicans, some Democrats too. The Klan, in other words, the Klan is back in full force, full throat, full noise. And they are assuming positions of leadership. The big mistake, you see, for this sad, sick, twisted, racist, filthy, nasty society was the fact that a decent man who happened to be an African-American was elected president. I'm not saying he's a liberal or a progressive or a savior or a genius. He's a decent man, elected president. But because he was African-American, have you ever seen anything like this before? Of course you haven't, because nothing like this has ever happened in this country before. But it is full-throated racism. And you know what? Once that donkey is kicked his way out of the stable, there's no way to stop it. Do you understand that? Life is funny, skies are sunny, bees make honey.
Because without dissent, it's not America. Here's Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. By the way, the phone number here is 877-996-2556. We're probably going to take calls earlier tonight than we normally do. The escalation that is coming where it concerns this war in Afghanistan, you know, up until recently, it was kind of an expanded police action. We were supposed to be tracking down certain people, right? Somehow, and it's internal or eternal wisdom of the CIA was able to tell us when one of the Al-Qaeda or Taliban chieftains would be at a wedding party, and then we could bomb and wipe out, you know, 200 women, children, and men, and get the Taliban dude or the Al-Qaeda dude. That was our mission. Our mission was to go to Afghanistan. We've been there 8 years. We're in the 8th year. Jesus Christ. 8 years. Do you realize that's longer than our involvement in World Wars 1 and 2 combined? But I digress. But now the mission has changed. You see, now it's changed. Now we are going to civilize Afghanistan. We are going to send our troops there to kill and be killed for voting rights, gender rights, you know, so the girls can be educated and the boys can get some education other than out of the Quran. We're going there to build roads. We're going there to put in an electric grid. We're going there to build a pipeline to get all that precious gas and oil out of Tajikistan and Kazakhstan and Bukistan and Berserkistan and Kiss My Buttistan and all these stands, you see? So, the mission has changed. And Mike Mullen sat in front of Congress and over the past day or two and made it abundantly clear that we're looking at maybe, let's see here, maybe 2013, 2014, there might be enough progress made where maybe, perhaps, we can have trained 250,000 Afghan soldiers, 150,000 police. Have you heard this before? Yes, you have, haven't you? So maybe another 4 years, maybe five, which will mean that we will have been at war in Afghanistan for 13, 14, 15 years. Do you understand? This is a gift to the military-industrial complex to the same degree that Max Baucus's health insurance plan is a gift to the medical pharmaceutical-industrial complex and a gift from the Obama Justice Department to the surveillance-industrial complex. I've had enough. Haven't you? In the meantime, and of course I know I'm repeating myself, the real insane bastards who dominate media in this country continue to push for a race war in this country. They continue to push for open rebellion. They continue to push for murder and death and destruction. Glenn Beck, Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, Mike Savage, the rest of these guys are nothing but murderer wannabes. They want to see death and destruction. But as they all avoided the draft, or not the draft necessarily, but they all avoided military service, they all avoided, like Dick Cheney and George Bush, a chance to go kill Vietnamese when they had a chance to, even though they were all firm advocates in that war, those particular combat actions. So they are also cowards and evaders where it concerns the blood they want to see on the street. And this is what they want. Limbaugh tried it with the Republican Democratic Convention. Which one was held in Denver? It really doesn't matter. Limbaugh tried it. Beck tries it every single day. Hannity made a stab at it, but he's too busy, keeping track of where he left his clothes when he goes to the bunny ranch. Michael Savage has become a gibbering maniac. He's out-Becked Beck. Lou Dobbs on CNN, what has happened to that man's brain? All of these people are pushing for a race war. This is what they want. They want death and destruction, and they will not stop until they get it. And they have enough, between all five or six of them, they probably have 10 million mouth-breathing followers. These are cult members in the definitive sense. Out of that 10 million, how difficult do you think it's going to be for the day to come when somebody walks into, like the crazy right winger who walked into the woman's exercise class and opened fire, like the crazy son of a bitch that walked into the Holocaust Museum and opened fire, we just go on and on here. How long before some sick white Glenn Beck follower or Rush Limbaugh listener walks into a predominantly black high school armed to the teeth and murders 20 or 30 African-American students? This is what Beck, Limbaugh, Hannity, Savage, Joe Wilson, this is what they're all pushing for. They want this. They want it desperately.
Gentle into that good night. Rage, rage against the flying monkey right with Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour. All right, before we take your phone calls, I want to share with you an email I got from D in Plano, Texas. Who writes, regarding the recent racial discussions in this country, I would like to address one thing that no one is saying, at least out loud. Those who try to deny a racial component in the anti-Obama protests and some of those protesters' actions and are trying to compare the hate being spewed against President Obama to the comments against recent presidents are missing one thing in the conversation. When people protested and shouted about Bill Clinton and George W. Bush, the missing link in all this was that very few ever felt that the mean-spirited rhetoric being tossed about could possibly lead to someone actually trying to physically harm them. Well, I'm not so sure about Clinton there. There is a deep, personal, tragic history in this country, D writes, where our black political leaders are concerned, and when you have preachers on a national stage praying for the death of a president, when you have protesters holding signs reading death to Obama, when you have a 400% increase in death threats to this president versus past presidents, and when you begin having people showing up at presidential events and appearances with handguns and AK-47s, that's not ideology or policy differences. That's a difference of another kind, a racial difference. We have a problem, people, and the worst thing we can do is stick our heads in the sand and try to act like this is somehow the status quo for presidents. It is not. I pray that our so-called leaders, both politically and in the media, will denounce the horrid race baiting that's being done by many on the right-wing fringes. Well, it's not the fringes, D. It's right-wing mainstream. Back to D's email. Rush Limbaugh just recently went on the air and tried to tie a fight on a school bus between two white and black boys as, "This is what happens in Obama's America." Well, kids have been fighting on school buses for decades, but Limbaugh took this opportunity to continue trying to start some kind of a political race war, not political, D, in this country. And this is dangerous, and it needs to be stopped now. Yeah, D, it's a real race. This is what they want, of what I just said before the break. Beck, Limbaugh, Hannity, the rest of them, they want to see murder. They're testing their ability to manipulate people. That event on September 12th was a part of the test. Limbaugh's inciting people to get crazy is another test. Raising lies that put so much pressure on this president that his aides have to resign, that's another test. They're just about finished with the testing. They're very close to getting word out that it's time for white people to go kill black people. This and vice versa. This is what Beck, Limbaugh, and Hannity want. They want a full-blown race war. They want murder. They want death in the streets. They are killers. They're cannibals. This is what we were talking about the other night that Jude sent me. These are necrophiliacs who want death and destruction in this country, and they're not going to be happy until they get it. They're not. Back to Dee's email. We all know there are real problems in this country and that there are legitimate questions and concerns about the direction and policies of this president. But please stop trying to tell African Americans that their racial fears are needless, baseless, and unfounded. It angers me when people in the media try to tell me what my feelings are, or that my feelings are wrong. Our feelings are real, and our fears are based on historical realities. One last note. I'm sure there were people saying that black people were overreacting to the hatred directed at Martin Luther King Jr., too. D in Plano, Texas. Look at the attack. Thanks, D. Look at the attack today on Jimmy Carter. You knew that was going to happen. I mean, if you saw it, what's his name? Brian Williams. Was it Brian Williams talking to Jimmy Carter the other night, last night, when Carter said, yeah, you know, this is racism. The people who are carrying these signs and making these demonstrations are racist. This is, you know, they don't feel that a black man is qualified to be president of the United States. And look at the attack on Carter today. Now, the thing you have to remember, one of the reasons for the virulence of the attacks on Carter from the Christian right is because Jimmy Carter is a real Christian. He's a real Christian. He's not one of these filthy, lying sons of bitches. Now, I'm not dropping my stance against religion here. I'm just saying Jimmy Carter is a Christ follower. Jimmy Carter does things like build houses. What is he, 85 years old, for Habitat for Humanity? He is a peacemaker. He tries. But he's a real Christian. Down in Plains, Georgia, at his church there, I think he still holds, I think he's still a Sunday school teacher. I think he still gets together for men's Bible study. Now, you can have whatever opinion you want on that. I certainly do. But he is not a filthy, lying Christ killer like most of these Christians, so-called, are today. He is a follower of Christ. And that's why the Christian right hates him. Hates him. If there would have been some way for James Dobson or Pat Robertson or some of these other Christian Nazis to have caused Carter's death, they would have done it. You know, there's another example of this. What is the prayer called when they pray for someone's death? Remember that guy was praying for my death, the one at the Harvester Church over here about 10 years ago. Yeah, they used to pray for my death, too. Imprecational prayers. Please, God, kill that son of a bitch.
Didn't you have a ex-wife that did that, too?
No, she tried to do witchcraft on me.
Oh, she had a little wax figure.
Well, she and some of the women in her circle decided that they were going to, it didn't work. Didn't work at all, and that's because I just surround myself constantly with positive magic, M-A-G-I-C-K. But anyway, the attack on Carter has its roots in the fact that he was a real Christian, and still is. Let me rephrase that: that he's a real follower of Jesus, and he sees Jesus as the Christ, as the Messiah. That's his business. And Jimmy Carter has never tried to jam that down somebody's throat. He's never tried to say to me or you, if you don't believe the way I believe, you're going to burn in hell. You're going to burn in hell! And as far as I know, Jimmy Carter has never tried to hide some predilection for sexual perversion like pornography or buggering little girls or little boys or sheep, you know, like so many on the Christian right have. So the attack on Carter is just one more example. This country is tipping, truth seekers. It really is. I have, you know, it's very iffy, very chancy for me to say this, but I think there are probably a lot of people in this country right now who are feeling a bit like, maybe perhaps intellectually anyway, like the Jews felt in just one example, because the Jews have been chased and hunted down, burned alive for, well, how long since Jesus was executed? 2,000 years. But maybe just that sense that the Jews might have had in Middle Europe after World War One. Let's just keep it in a certain historical context. After World War One and the lead up to World War Two, where Jews who were aware of what was going on to a more acute degree than their fellow countrymen, regardless of what country it was, to the same degree that blacks in this country understand to a more, in a more personal way, what's going on than white people do. Because this is where there's a close connection between Jews in Middle Europe and African Americans here. Their very lives depended on being tuned in to the undercurrents, the subtleties, the vibrations, the sense, the subtle put downs of a Jew or a black man or black woman. So I am starting to get that feeling around the edges, a feeling that I would equate with that. You know, I wasn't, I'm not Jewish, I'm not African American, I didn't live in Middle Europe in between the two world wars, I haven't lived in the South as a slave or as a Jim Crow black man, so it's just right on the verge of arrogant or condescending for me to say, I'm starting to feel that way, because I have no idea what people who were about to be burned or hanged or murdered or gassed, what they felt, you know, maybe 5, 6, 7 years out from the horror. But I get a sense, because when I look at these wild-eyed, raving Nazi son-of-a-bitches like Beck and Limbaugh and the rest of these people and what they are promoting in this society, and I start to think, hey, we're on a, if not a razor's edge, we are on a cliff edge here. And I'm not very optimistic about whether or not we're going to plunge over. I'm not, are you? But let's talk when we come back, your phone calls. I'm Mike Malloy. They came out their houses and they looked around, but they didn't see no one in my country. 'Tis of they to take swings at each other on talk show TV. Why don't you just go ahead and turn off the sun? 'Cause we'll never live long enough to undo everything they've done to you. Before the hour, we'll try to find the authentic one, but that song that was made famous in the 60s by Peter, Paul, and Mary. Mary Travers passed away about a half an hour ago, we understand. She died of cancer at Danbury Hospital in Connecticut. She was 72 years old. Mary Travers. Peter, Paul, and Mary. They keep dropping, don't they? We're talking about the what I maintain the right wing talk show hosts really want. They want death and destruction in this country, and this is what they're pushing for. This is what Beck wants. This is what Limbaugh wants. This is what Hannity wants. They want a race war. They want a religious war because they feel that they are above this. They will be safe. They're millions. They're tens of millions. In the pig man's case, they're hundreds of millions of dollars will keep them safe. And they're correct because it will. But they want the rest of us to kill each other. These are murderers by proxy, all of them. In the middle of all that is Barack Obama, a decent man who, is becoming an absolute disappointment to those of us on the political left who, even though we knew, I mean, I have to go back to just before the election. There were no stars in my eyes about Barack Obama. I told you I was thrilled to see finally an African-American elected president with I think 46, what did I hear tonight, 46% of white voters voted for him. That's quite a step out of the dark ages, no pun intended, for white people. But he never presented himself. He did present himself as someone who's going to change all the horror that we just endured for the past 8 years, during which these teabaggers and birthers and the rest of these goddamn freaks just sat back and kept their mouths shut and their hiney holes carefully covered. Because there was not a Beck or a Limbaugh to the degree is now promoting race war, which is what these guys are doing. God damn it. It's very simple. They want a race war and they want a religious war. And they're pushing for it every single day on their programs. They're pushing for it. They're pushing for it. But I digress. That's on the one hand. The other hand is the disappointment on Barack Obama's policies, where it concerns this these events specifically designed for the various industrial complexes in this country, whether it's military industrial, pharmaceutical, medical industrial, surveillance industrial, if there is such a thing. The military industrial complex wants this country in eternal war, because look at what they're making. God damn it, what are they making? They're not making things that you and I can go buy. Even though we're paying for these things, they're making things that have to be blown up and used on a battlefield so they can make more. And what is the pharmaceutical industrial, medical industrial complex doing? What are they doing? Putting junk drugs out here. Well, what's this big article I read in New York Times this morning about cancer? Ever since the war on cancer, which war on cancer? I'll pick one over the past 50 years. Nothing has changed in cancer mortality rates. And all these drugs that have come out, with one exception, Gleevec, I guess, which is a drug that works against a certain form of leukemia. But everything else, what is it? Oh, here you get an extra week. Here you get an extra month. Of course, the torture you're going to go through while you take these treatments is going to make you wish the extra month would disappear. And this is a kind of poison and filth that the medical, pharmaceutical, industrial complex keeps pumping into all of us. Son of a bitch! It's very frustrating. That's what makes me say son of a bitch on the radio. So, Obama, who I think to most of us Democrats, oh, I know there's still people holding on, hoping, okay, you know, like I was. Oh, it's rope-a-dope. Don't worry. He'll come through. No, he won't. And it's not, I don't think it's because he's a liar like Bush, or a sneak, a murderous sneak like Cheney, or a cowardly son of a bitch like these right-wingers on media. I think it's because Barack Obama understands a few things. First of all, his historical the historical import of his election. A. B. The fact that he is in the crosshairs of somebody's, metaphorically speaking, somebody's rifle scope every single minute. And not so metaphorically speaking. There are people out there who love Glenn Beck and want to do what Beck wants, and Beck wants him killed. Glenn Beck wants the president assassinated. Rush Limbaugh wants the president assassinated. Sean Hannity wants this president assassinated. Lou Dobbs wants this president assassinated. Michelle Malkin wants this president assassinated. And on and on and on and on. And 95% of the white politicians in the House and the Senate want this president murdered. And God knows how many members of the military leadership want him dead. Because this country is, was, always shall be, a cesspool of racism, religious bigotry, filthy hatred. This is what liberals and progressives have been struggling against for how long? How long? Your lifetime for sure. Your parents' lifetimes, you're damn right. How far back you want to go? This is what we've been struggling against. And the trigger issue now is out there. A black president that killers like Limbaugh and Beck and the rest of them, cowardly killers, the ones who would no more pull a trigger or throw a bomb than they would run naked through a Walmart saying, "Hey, where's my girlfriend?" They want somebody else to do it, and they try every day to inspire somebody to go for it. It is 7 past the hour. This is the Malloy program. By the way, at the bottom of this hour, stick around, because for those of you who are Moment with Bob fans, and I think that's anybody and everybody who's ever heard one of his essays, we have one for you tonight that kind of tops everything that he's ever written for this program. So in about a half an hour, a Moment with Bob that will kind of blow your socks off. Regarding Obama, Prairie 2 writes, it might be time to throw in the imported towel, since we don't make them in this country anymore. Prairie 2 writes, I'm waiting to see what happens at the G20 meeting in Philadelphia and on Obama's trip to China in November. If President Obama kisses Premier Wen Jiabao and holds his hand while walking at the ranch in Crawford. Oh, wait, I'm having a flashback. If Obama says the 39% tire tariff that he just levied was a big misunderstanding and we don't want to give up exporting chicken feet to China, then throw in that made in China towel, because then we'll know that he, Obama, is owned by the transnational corporations. Prairie 2. So I guess Prairie 2 is holding out until this November meeting in China. Yeah, see, all of us are drawing or have drawn lines in the sand where it concerns our support of this Democratic president, president from the Democratic Party. I'm afraid that's happened to me in my little teeny tiny world. Rodas is in Weehawken, New Jersey. Is that right, Rodas?
That is correct, sir.
Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. First time caller.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I wanted to touch on I love the show. Great show, by the way.
Well, thanks.
The three things that I noted that you mentioned earlier. One, candidate Obama's rhetoric on Afghanistan, which I kind of disagree with you on that. And then, of course, the...
Well, tell me how you disagree. I'm curious.
Well, here's the thing. He did mention, correct me if I'm wrong, he did mention during the campaign that Iraq was not supposed to be our focus, that our focus was Afghanistan. So,
wasn't there at least qualifying statements regarding that we had to go to Iraq to eliminate the people who were a threat to the United States, i.e., this mystical group Al Qaeda and the Taliban? Wasn't that? Listen, let me put you on hold. I don't know what's going on with your phone, but see if you can straighten it out, and I'll come back to you, okay? Because it's really sounding crappy on the air. I don't know what's going on, but there's lots of noise there. We'll come back to you. John is in Los Angeles listening on KTLK. Hey, John.
Hello. Yes. Hi, Mike Malloy and fellow truth speakers. I would like to say before I get to the point of my call that I'm disappointed with my radio station because KTLK interrupted your show the last couple times to play a sports, to broadcast a sports game.
Well, wait a second. Let me say something about that. I've been dealing with that in 25 years in radio. When I first started on WSB here in Atlanta, big 50,000 watt blowtorch, they carried the Atlanta Braves games, and the nights that there were games, I got preempted. That's just part of what goes with doing this program in this time slot.
Yeah. Let me
put it this way. There are more people in LA who want to hear whatever the sporting event is than who want to hear this program. So yeah. KTLK really doesn't have a choice here. They're doing the kind of broadcasting that the market dictates.
Yeah.
So
that's
I mean they're
thing.
Right. So it upsets me when a radio station preempts me for a sporting event, but like I said, I've been dealing with it for 25 years because I've always worked at night. And when you have a major station in a major market like KTLK in LA, they are going to carry a certain amount of sports broadcasting. Now, here's what you can do to not let that happen where it interrupts the program. Become a podcast subscriber or listen online.
Mm-hmm.
It's very simple. Okay?
May I say something about...
I just wanted to clear that up. KTLK or any radio station, they do what they have to do. All right, now, you wanted to talk about Obama.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
I agree with you that a lot of the fantasy destruction fantasizers on the right wing who attack Barack and throw up whatever kind of divisive issue, wedge issue they can,
right,
to destroy us and to conquer us through division, it is painful to see their attacks on Barack Obama, the president of this country. That is probably their intent because they're that narrow-minded in their fear and hate.
Right.
However, I do not want us truth seekers to not look at the alternatives or the other effects of this kind of what I'm seeing as more of a diversion, sort of like the Monica Lewinsky affair. Back then, when they attacked Clinton for his affair, I rushed to his defense. And you know, when he talked about NAFTA and CAFTA and deregulation and all that, didn't bother me one bit because, you know, he was my man. I was trying to defend him against all those right-wingers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the same thing is going on, I think, nowadays. And, you know, if not from these hacks that you talk about, not from in their intention, but in the actuality of what's going on, we are being, I think, distracted from the kind of fascist right-wing policies that, if these attacks didn't happen on Obama, we would see Obama as more of a right-wing fascist president. a Republican, if you will.
No, John, you can say a lot of things about, and I certainly have on this program about being disappointed in Obama's apparent refusal to follow through on some of the things we thought he was going to do, and some of the things that he specifically said he was going to do. But to insinuate that he's a right winger, much less a fascist, is crazy talk. It really is, John. I mean, Obama is no more out on the fringe right wing with these neo Nazis than the man on the moon. And as far as the diversion, the attack on Bill Clinton was about destabilizing Clinton, because what he was doing was stealing every idea the Republican Party ever had that was any good in the past, in their minds, in the past 30 years. Clinton was putting into effect every single policy that Ronald Reagan wanted to put into effect but couldn't. And the Republicans couldn't stand that. That's the only reason they went after him. And what they were trying to do, and they succeeded, was derail his health care plan, derail his gaze in the military plan, and end his presidency within about 2 weeks after it began. And they were very successful in doing that, to the extent that Clinton had to become what he always probably was, and that is Republican light, and in some instances not so light. That does not compare in any way to what is going on with Barack, the attacks on Barack Obama. The right wingers who used to go after Clinton wanted to embarrass him, harass him, like a dog, grabbing hold of the tail of a fox. And, you know, that's all they were interested in. What Glenn Beck and Sean Hannity and the drug addict, what they want is to see Obama assassinated. Because they understand that if that occurs, there will be a race war in this country that will cost the lives of hundreds of thousands of people. And this is what they want. You know, I read something the other night that Jude sent me from what's his name? Oh, damn. But the guy who has the book out, Republican Gomorrah, where he makes reference to what is referred to as the necrophilia, a necrophilious attitude that these right wingers have. They want to destroy everything in this country. They want to break it to pieces, in a sense, eat it, ruin it. And the first thing is the presidency. They want to kill Barack Obama. That's what Glenn Beck's whole shtick is. He wants to murder. He wants someone to murder the president.
Get another politician.
Renegade Talk Radio done right from the left. It's Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. All right, let's try Rodas and Weehawken again. Okay, let's see if you... Yeah, I think you sound a little bit better. All right, where were we?
Afghanistan.
Okay.
Do I sound better?
Yes.
Oh, okay, yes. Well, so, yeah, I disagreed, but, yeah, you said that there were some qualifiers were used by candidate Obama as spy.
Yeah, didn't he say that we wouldn't stay if it didn't work? Yeah, he said that Bush should drop the ball when he left Afghanistan to invade
Iraq
and occupy Iraq.
Right.
But as pointed out to me here in an email, when he announced the first buildup, he said he would not stay. We would not stay if it didn't work.
Right.
And how do you know when something is not working? Well, where it concerns strategies and tactics in a war, which is what we're in now in Afghanistan, you know it's not working when your commanders say, "Oh, listen, I'm going to need hundreds of thousands of more troops, and we're going to have to make a commitment to be here for years." That's Vietnam.
Right.
And look what happened there. We had our ass handed to us. And it only took 58,000 dead Americans before we left. It only took 2 or 3 million dead Indochinese, Vietnamese, Cambodians, Laotians before we left. What the hell?
True, but I mean, this is Bush got us into this. I mean,
okay. So let Obama get us out. You know what you have to do? Just turn around and walk. Just say to the military, get our people out of here. I don't think Obama gives a tinker's damn. He doesn't want to be in a war. He doesn't want to be a war president like Bush did. He's got a domestic agenda that he'd like to work. Who is it that wants us there? You know who it is? It's these hotshot generals and desk jockeys who apply for to take their commission and go into a war zone as long as they're kept out of combat, who think that they're going to do something that Genghis Khan, Alexander the Great, the British Empire, and the Soviet Union couldn't do, and that is subdue Afghanistan. That's madness.
I don't know. He already made a commitment to the Afghan people, did he not? I mean, he's still...
What commitment? Look, we put in our puppet, Hamid Karzai.
Karzai, yes.
Okay, and Hamid Karzai is a corrupt liar who's just stolen election. Once again, here we are, once again, where we stick in somebody who is corrupt. Do you think for a second, Rodas, and this is just a fair question, I'm not challenging you, do you think the people of Afghanistan don't understand that Hamid Karzai is no more their president than Dick Cheney is?
Right, exactly.
Right, but he is being backed by the United States military. And if you disagree, they will come and bomb your wedding party and kill your children. So that's kind of where we're at on that. Rodas, I got to leave it there. I appreciate what you had to say. But where it concerns Barack Obama and Afghanistan policy, there are no buts. This is a situation. I mean, Jesus Christ, why do we have to continue to be hit upside the head with a 2x4 over and over and over again about using the military to try in somebody else's country to try to subdue them? It doesn't work unless we're willing to do what we did to Germany and Japan. And that is to turn them into a non-functioning state. Here's the problem. That's what Afghanistan is already. And there is no Berlin in Afghanistan. There is no Dresden. There is no Tokyo. And the Taliban and the people of Afghanistan are sitting around tonight saying to themselves, we will kill every one of these sons of bitches. And our people will die, but we will defend our country. We've done it for 2,500 years, and we will continue to do it. So bring the blue-eyed bastard on. Bring him on. When he comes into our country, we will kill him. The Afghans are going to do exactly what you and I would do with an invader to this country. Not the right-wingers. The right-wingers in this country, the Glenn Becks, would flee. They'd piss their pants and run off into the woods. But you and I, see, the liberals, the progressives, the Democrats, blah, 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 we would take up weapons and fight and fight and fight until we beat the invader, just like the Vietnamese did. So what is Barack Obama doing? What is he doing? Is he declaring himself fearful? Does he not realize, did he not realize when he decided to run for president what would happen if he were elected? If this racist, filthy society had a rhetorical target like Barack Obama? I think he did understand it. And I think he decided to roll the dice. But he didn't count on right-wing talk radio hosts who want to see him killed and who want to see a race war in this country.
truth seekers. Here's the truth speaker, Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour. All right, for this huge audience of Bob Alexander fans, which probably exceeds the fans of the Malloy Show by a large factor, we now present another moment with Bob. Yes, indeed. Once again, it is a moment with Bob, brought to you by your friends at Offshore Drilling. What profoundly retarded means. Hey, Mike. In 1992, I read a feature in our local Sunday paper called "Will You Adopt This Child?" That week's article profiled a 4-year-old boy who was blind, could feed himself, use the bathroom, brush his teeth, and put his clothes on. The article went on to say the little boy was classified as being profoundly retarded. After reading the piece, I thought, now there's a tough sell. Here's a little kid who is going to need a lot of care forever. I also thought about my own son. He was 9 years old at the time, and I wished he was as accomplished as the little kid in the article. He has cerebral palsy, and though he could feed himself, he still needed help doing everything else. It was the first time I'd come across the phrase profoundly retarded. It made me wonder how my son would be classified, since he couldn't do 75% of what the little boy in the article could. It took a long time, but eventually my son made it to the level of the child I had read about so many years before. He lives in a group home now that provides 24-hour supervised residential care. He is forever 3 years old. I'm not trying to inject an element of pathos here. I just want to make it clear that I know what the term profoundly retarded means. According to the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, profoundly retarded individuals have IQ scores under 20 to 25. They may be able to develop basic self-care and communication skills with appropriate support and training. Their retardation is often caused by an accompanying neurological disorder. Over the summer, culminating in the taxpayer march on Washington last Saturday, we have seen a perfect example of a truly remarkable phenomenon. The 70,000 people who attended the rally, as well as millions of other like-minded Americans, for a host of different reasons, have become willfully, profoundly retarded. They can feed themselves, use a bathroom, brush their teeth, and put their clothes on. They have developed basic self-care and communication skills. And that's it. What is almost overwhelming to even think about is that these millions of Americans choose their condition. They have turned their ability to think critically off. Critical thinking employs not only logic, but also clarity, credibility, accuracy, precision, relevance, depth, breadth, significance, and fairness. All of which was missing from the taxpayer march and has been missing from the conservative agenda since before this country came into existence. And to be fair, critical thinking is intermittently missing from liberals as well. For years, various pundits on the right and the left have described the United States of America as a conservative country or a religious country. No. We are a profoundly retarded country. By choice. To explain why we have become what we are is an almost futile endeavor. Explanations may lead to understanding, but we have to do something about it. To solve the problem, we have to tear down established institutions and belief systems, but that's too hard, or too uncomfortable, or too confrontational, or too whatever the hell it is that keeps people from doing anything. 61% of Americans don't believe in evolution. We can blame this rejection of science and the belief in absolute nonsense directly on religious indoctrination and an astounding level of religious tolerance. Freedom of religion means one has the liberty to worship without persecution, but it has come to include tolerating belief systems in the public arena that don't make any sense. The core tenets of the major religions in this country make no sense. But in this country, one has to profess and demonstrably practice Christianity in order to hold elective office. In a functional nation, no one would vote for a candidate that believes in irrational mumbo-jumbo. We have to exclude these people, not excuse them. I used to think that if anyone said God spoke to them, it was the same as if they said Elvis spoke to them. Not anymore. Though still well within the crazy continuum, it's even crazier. Elvis actually existed. But we're raised to be polite and tolerant and suspend our critical thinking. Liberals will bend over backwards not to offend. A war of aggression is a military conflict waged absent the justification of self-defense. The International Military Tribunal at Nuremberg after World War II called the waging of aggressive war, quote, essentially an evil thing. To initiate a war of aggression is not only an international crime, it is the supreme international crime, differing only from other war crimes in that it contains within itself the accumulated evil of the whole, end quote. Our war and occupation of Iraq is the supreme international crime. Our country is responsible for the murder of over 1 million innocent people. But because of an urban myth, liberals have twisted themselves into knots trying to deal with two aspects of this war with political correctness. From Wikipedia, The Spitting Image, Myth, Memory, and the Legacy of Vietnam. It's a 1998 book by sociologist Jerry Lembeck. A Los Angeles Times book reviewer wrote, quote, the image is ingrained. A Vietnam veteran arriving home from the war gets off a plane only to be greeted by an angry mob of anti-war protesters yelling, murderer and baby killer. Then out of the crowd, someone who spits in the veteran's face. The only problem, according to Jerry Lembeck, is that no such incident has ever been documented. It is instead, says Lembeck, a kind of urban myth that reflects our lingering national confusion over the war. End quote. The right has continued to promulgate this myth since the end of the Vietnam War. Myths are powerful and almost impossible to discard. Liberals are so afraid of being linked to the actions of anti-war protesters that never existed that they've come up with an absolutely incredible phrase. I've used it. Perhaps you have too. When talking to an Iraq war veteran, have you ever said, thank you for your service? They have returned from participating in a war crime. We vilify the Bush regime for being war criminals, but we tell the participants in the war crime, thank you for your service. What service did they perform for us? We can't speak the truth. We can't say that we're sorry they were played for chumps and that their fellow soldiers were wounded or killed for corporate America. Do we keep the switch for critical thinking in the off position out of empathy or cowardice? How many anti-war demonstrations would have happened since November 2008 if John McCain and Sarah Palin had won the election and continued the Bush regime's wars in Afghanistan and Iraq? How many banners would there have been portraying them as war criminals like there were for Bush and Cheney? Obama has not changed the Bush regime's policies about the wars or in the treatment of the prisoners from those wars in any discernible way. Where are the Obama anti-war protests? When you inherit a war crime, you're supposed to stop it, not allow it to continue. Otherwise, it's your war crime. War crimes are not absolved by rhetoric, but we do nothing because we certainly wouldn't want to be accused of being racist, now would we? Mounting a huge demonstration against the first African-American president because of his war policies would so easily be termed racist by your typical unthinking liberal. We've turned off our critical thinking and joined our conservative fellow citizens in obstructing justice and peace. We weren't hamstrung at birth by a neurological disorder. We don't have any excuse. We choose to discard critical thinking and embrace the dark ages of myth and superstition and cowardice. We do have hope. We hope that if we do nothing, if we don't think about it, magically, everything will turn out all right. It's not going to. The Bush regime is gone. We have to focus on the people calling the shots now. The ones that won't end the wars, the ones that won't prosecute war criminals, the ones that deny us health care, the new pawns of the corporatocracy. Democrats. Regards, Bob. Another episode or chapter in A Moment with Bob, brought to you by your friends at Offshore Drilling.
Didn't they try to find some good reunion? Then we'll be free someday. Soon is gonna be one day. Anybody here seen my old friend Bobby? Can you tell me where he's gone? Thought I saw him walking up over the hill, Abraham and Martin and John. Was it something you could picture but never could quite tell?
Defining anger management. It's Mike Malloy.
Ten before the hour. Back to your phone calls here. Stephen is in Natick, is that right, Massachusetts?
Steve the banker.
Oh, hey. Oh, it's Stephen. Hi, Stephen.
How you doing?
All right. How about you?
Well, it's been a long summer.
Yeah, really?
It's been a very hard one. A lot more businesses closing down. And first thing I wanted to say, though, while I was waiting was Mary Travers. I did not hear that before you mentioned it.
Yeah, it just...
And that's just shocking.
Yeah, I got the notice, I guess, about 35, 40 minutes after her passing. It was late this evening. I'm sure it'll be in the Times tomorrow. Yeah, it is. You know, I keep thinking about the... how the deaths of certain people seem to close off even more tightly the end of certain eras, you know, when Ted Kennedy died, yeah. When Mary Travers died, you know, it just
well, this is like the shutting off of an era of free thought, of
yeah.
freedom of expression and art and just intelligence. I mean, she was just as a human being besides singing, just her humanity.
Yeah.
During her singing, you could see it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I just wanted to mention that after you mentioning that.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, I'd love to hear something if you have it. To tie in, again, what I do and what I see and what I feel with what's going on and what I see and feel and hear, the health care, I think our society... since 1980, since about 8 years ago, our society has changed incredibly by not really taking all of the right wing out after Vietnam.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The military complex really intact.
Yes.
We have really lost the battle and the war domestically. And I don't know how. I think we've come to a point where the society is untenable. During this week, I got, to give you another example, but this is really it. In Ohio, a talking to a gentleman who is now 74 years old, approximately, who for the last 20 years has had a company who's employed, I don't know, maybe 10 or 20 people, but his company cleans, was cleaning in large manufacturing plants all over the United States, mostly in the Northeast, and at the very best was doing about $600,000 in revenue a year. This year, his company did $20,000.
Oh, my God.
They've got nothing left. They owe us, of course, a huge amount of money they'll never be able to pay back. But the saddest thing was, he goes, I got a call from a friend who was working for a Honeywell plant in Ohio. Now, this is this year. 1,100 guys and women out of business, out of a job, closed down after being there 20, 30, 40 years. All right? And their jobs all, you know, shipped overseas to Asia. What of their health care? What of their jobs?
Sure.
What of their families? What of health care? And I hate to be bouncing around, but I know you're busy. So I don't see how our society works. There's no jobs to go to. The health care, the Democratic Party has completely fallen apart on this. The health care that we have, and I live in Massachusetts right now, so
right.
The thing that they're basing this on, you know, we're forced with that, you know, this, our state is forced with that crazy model that they're basing this thing on, which is insane, forcing poor people onto this thing. There is actually a fee, a penalty, that if they don't carry the health care, they actually have to pay a fee to the state, and of course that they can't afford.
Right.
The other insanity of this is you're also forcing the middle class to have this health care that was no longer covering anybody.
Right.
We are now forced to have a health care that is covering only 50%, 40%, 30% of our health care.
I hear you. I hear you. Steve, I gotta leave it there, pal. We got a break here. All right. Thanks, Stephen.
Great show.
All right. Appreciate you checking in.
Bye.
We'll be back after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Welcome back. It is 7 past the hour. This is the Malloy Show. And 2 weeks from tonight, we will be doing a gig in San Francisco hosted by Green 960, our affiliate there. You can go to MikeMalloy.com for a link to get ticket information, which will take you, the link will take you right to Green 960 website. And I hope to see you there 2 weeks from tonight at Yoshi's in San Francisco. It should be a hoot. Hope you're going to be there. Go to MikeMalloy.com. It's right at the top of the page, right there. We can see it. You don't have to look. There's a link. Click on it. Give you all the information. All right. I got to share this with you. Then we're coming back to your phone calls. This is from the Wall Street Journal. You know, I just read that moment with Bob about profoundly retarded and what that means. And Bob certainly has license to write about that and use that expression any way he damn well chooses because he has been there. But from the Wall Street Journal's blog line, I guess, this is so typical. This is so typical of these Republican, willfully ignorant or profoundly retarded individuals. Listen to this. Protesters who attended Saturday's Tea Party rally in Washington, D.C. found a new reason to be upset. Apparently, they are unhappy with the level of service provided by the subway system. Representative Kevin Brady from Texas called for a government investigation into whether the government-run subway system adequately prepared for this weekend's rally to protest government spending and government services. Seriously. Brady said today, he released a letter today he sent to Washington's metro system, complaining that the taxpayer-funded subway system was unable to properly transport protesters to the rally to protest government spending and expansion. Isn't this so goddamn typical? Don't you want to just grab Kevin Brady by his nose and twist until his ears fall off? Don't you? Huh? This is what his little email said. These individuals came all the way from Southeast Texas to protest the excessive spending and growing government intrusion by the 111th Congress and the new Obama administration. These participants, whose tax dollars were used to create and maintain this public transit system, were frustrated and disappointed that our nation's capital did not make a great effort to simply provide a basic level of transit for them. End quote. Well, you dumb little bastard. Why didn't you hire private cars? Aren't you all about privatization? Aren't you all... A spokesman for Representative Brady says, quote, there weren't enough cars and there weren't enough trains. Brady tweeted as much from the Saturday march. He wrote on his Twitter, Metro did not prepare for Tea Party March. More stories. People couldn't get on. Missed start of March. I will demand answers from Metro. Brady says in his letter to Metro that overcrowding forced an 80-year-old woman and elderly veterans in wheelchairs to pay for cabs. But I thought that's what you dumb son of a bitches wanted, Mr. Brady. And he concluded that it appears that Metro added no additional capacity to its regular weekend schedule. Why should they, you little rat bastard? I mean, you people were there to protest all this kind of stuff. What did you want them to do, you little rat bastard? What is wrong with you? Oh, that's right. Profoundly retarded.
They were probably upset also because of the lack of, like, police presence and guards.
All that socialism.
All that publicly funded stuff.
Where were the trains? We had to take cabs. We had to hire private transportation.
Well, what if your kid is going to school in a cab? Because there's no school bus.
This really gets us. We were there to protest government spending. Why isn't there government spending to get the damn trains running? See? See how this works? See how this works? Do you see how this works? Even the Wall Street Journal laughs at this dumbass. A couple more emails here very quick from Kate T, who writes, Mike, just heard the last part of the bit about the right wing wanting harm to come to President Obama. Perhaps I missed if you mentioned it, but I believe that this is partially what all the disruption at the town hall meetings this summer was about. I believe this was a way of teaching or training people to believe that the rules of civility don't apply anymore, that they don't have to behave as members of the overall society. Disrupting meetings, talking about death panels on television, calling the FBI incompetent for letting Van Jones near the president, making it known that Homeland Security is cutting back on the president's Secret Service details, shouting, "You lie," at the president during a joint session of Congress. They are basically telling the sheeple that the rules don't apply anymore. He's surrounded by incompetence. He's protected. His protection is weak. He's an alien. Go ahead. Have at him. They are driving them to their destruction. Unfortunately, they may take us all with them. I just keep reminding them to remember Rwanda. Yeah, and there's a reason to remember Rwanda. You know, the civil war in this country that ran for, 4 years? Cost the lives of 600,000 Americans. Americans killing Americans. Now, that was a considerable part of the population at the time. And what Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity want is a repeat. They want to see it again. They want to sit wherever multimillionaires sit after they have incited a population, the weak, degenerate part of the population, into riot mode. They want to sit someplace and watch. Ho, ho, goddamn look, huh? How about that, Rush? I know, Glenn, we did a good job, didn't we? Jesus, Sean, way to go. Hey, where's Lou Dobbs? Get him over here. Look, look down there. There's a whole mess of them surrounding that boy. Look, oh my God, they just cut his head off. Oh, look over here, here's... That's what these pigs want. That's what they want. That's what they're pushing for. Every single day that they're on the air, they're pushing for that one weak link, that one crazed white person who is going to burst into a room someplace and commit mass murder to a degree and with the result that this country's going to explode. That's what they want. That's what Beck is pushing for every single day. Beck, being the cowardly son of a bitch that he is, he would never pull the trigger. Not on somebody else, maybe on himself. Limbaugh would never pull the trigger. He just sits in his great, enormous body and tries to get other people to do it. Hannity, when he finds time to walk away from the bunny ranch and zip his fly up, he doesn't care one way or the other. He just knows he's got a good gig, man. I get paid millions of dollars to incite these sons of bitches to go kill each other. I love it. This is what they're doing every single day. These people want Barack assassinated. They want a race war. They want a religious war, and they're pushing for it as hard as they can. You think not? Catch the rebroadcast of Oberman's program tonight. Take a look. Just go through the file of what's been said at these rallies, of what kind of placards are being carried around. Come on. Come out of your fog. Well, not you, but we'll be back.
Everybody's flying, I never took a stop. sound of a golden voice.
He's your nightly ammunition against right-wing rhetoric. Get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. One more here. This is from Warren in Arlington, Virginia, who writes, Mike, I'm a former military officer and I know strategic and tactical principles of war. I believe the real reason we're in Afghanistan is to finish the eastern beachhead for a classic two-front attack on Iran. We still have an enormous number of combat bases and troops on the western front in Iraq. All this business about getting the Taliban and nation building in Afghanistan is all a big diversion for getting a large number of troops into the eastern boundary of Iran. The real target is Iran. It always has been, all the way back to Reagan. If you recall, Israel has said it will give the rest of the world until December to do something about the Iranian nuclear threat, or they will do it themselves. I believe we will aid Israel in an all-out attack on Iran sometime within the next 6 months. A clue will be not only the additional troops, but also a large movement of naval units and Air Force bombers to the area over the next couple of months. When you see that happen, it means the attack will occur within the next 30 days. Regards, Warren in Arlington, Virginia. Well, there you go. Okay, where are we? I'm sorry. Eric in Nashville has been holding off for over an hour. Hey, Eric. Hey, let me put you on hold. Eric, we can't understand a word you're saying. I'll try to get Kathy to clean up the phone call so we can hear what you've got to say. But can't understand you on right there. Steve is in Austin, Texas. Hey, Steve.
Greetings from the Blue Oasis in the redneck capital. Totally sad news about Mary Travers.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is.
Loss of a great person and a great voice.
Mm-hmm.
And leads right into what you were just talking about. We got to bring these people home now. It's that damn serious, and it's really hard to see it all happen again. Regarding when you're talking about the necrophile Republicans long ago, I was brought up in the Methodist Church, you know, very liberal Methodist Church,
mm-hmm.
and the communion was the wine and the wafer, blah blah blah, and it was grape juice and unseasoned Cheez-It. That was my first clue.
right.
And then in my freshman year at University of Texas here in Austin, we were fortunate enough to have Madeline Murray O'Hare come and address us down mm-hmm. in the main lobby area.
Right.
It was packed.
Mm-hmm.
Not just our dorm, but many other dorms mm-hmm. came and listened to her, and we were fortunate to. And for many of us, that was the birth of reason.
Yeah.
And that's what we have to cling to
mm-hmm.
With our fingernails. And, Mike, just be real careful. Madeline did not come to a good end, and you guys need to really be careful, and I know you are. I know you're...
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I completely understand, Steve, and have for probably 20 years, just how vulnerable a person can be in this country who doesn't follow the party line. I don't care if you're on radio or you're a school teacher or a business person. I'm fully aware. And it's gotten worse and worse and worse and worse. And Kathy's aware. And we're careful. We really are. We have one thing going for us. We are white. We look like any redneck couple that you might see in the South. Well, not quite redneck, but we look like any white Southern couple. And if somebody ever had the cowardice to approach me, it would be a bad situation. But no, I hear you. I understand what you're saying, Steve. I really do, and I appreciate the concern. Thank you. Thank you. What was I going to do here? Damn. Well, we got to take a break, don't we? Yeah. Okay. I thought I had something right on the tip of my tongue to say, but I guess not. All right, no big deal. We'll take a break. Go ahead, start the music. Do I have enough music to start it now? There we go. Is this, who's this? Let me hear.
All my bags are packed, I'm ready to go.
Stay with us, I'm Mike Malloy.
I'm standing here outside your door. I hate to wake you up to say goodbye. But the dawn is breaking, it's early morn. The taxi's waiting, he's blowing his horn. Already I'm so lonesome, I could cry. So kiss me and smile for me. Tell me that you'll wait for me. Hold me like you'll never let me go. 'Cause I'm leaving on a jet plane. I don't know when I'll be back again. Oh, babe, I hate to go. There's so many times I...
From the left, it's more Mike Malloy.
Twenty-five before the hour. Captain Murray in Memphis, regarding the tea parties, writes, notice how the press is now saying tea party instead of tea bagger party? Guess someone finally told the screechers what the word really means. Chuckle. Signed, Cat Mary in Memphis, who enjoys a good cup of tea, but nothing extreme, just a feather, not the whole chicken. Yeah, I noticed that too, Cat Mary. They call it tea parties. Yeah, I think somebody did clue them in what the hell they were talking about. Couple of quickies here from Prairie 2. Peace nearly broke out at the end of the Vietnam War, but Cheney and Rumsfeld, who were in the Ford administration at the time, were able to squash a CIA report accurately predicting the collapse of the Soviet Union. They did this by launching a propaganda campaign that the Soviets had an undetectable missile submarine. When the CIA said there was no such thing, the response was, "See? It's undetectable." Sounds stupid, but with the repetition of fearful cries from the media, they made it work. Cheney and Rumsfeld were handsomely rewarded by corporate America for their efforts, and when it did collapse, the Soviet Union, right on time, Reagan was there to take credit. Yeah, God, I'd like to see something interesting to happen to those two. And regarding the legislator... Chuckle, chuckle, nudge, nudge from Texas, who complained about not enough trains, not enough public transportation to take him and his friends to complain about public transportation. Bruce writes, when they had the train wreck on the D.C. Metro last spring, it was revealed that much of its rolling stock and safety systems were obsolete because the goddamn Republicans had been underfunding it since they took over in 1994. Why should they fund it? High-ranking Republicans have drivers and limos paid for by the government they hate. The rest have to ride with lobbyists, but make do with good liquor and expensive hookers. No offense to sex workers. Yeah, I've said before, the main thing that pisses me off about Republicans is their everything they say is a lie. All Republicans, but especially Republican office holders. The second thing is their cowardice. They're blatant. Unending cowardice. Back to your calls. Mark is in Cleveland listening on Sirius. Hey, Mark.
Hey, you're right, Mike, though. Right is certainly littered with chicken hawk.
Oh, man.
I do appreciate and enjoy your show. Thanks for it.
Thanks.
As far as supporting the president, you know, I've drawn many lines in the sand, and each time they get crossed, I look at the political landscape on the right, and I just find it impossible to turn my back or drop support.
Yeah.
I have a friend that teaches history here in Cleveland.
Uh-huh.
And he came up with an interesting scenario. What if the Republican Party were to split off and you had the Republican Party and the teabaggers? It is much funnier when we call them the teabaggers.
Right, it is.
The teabaggers and the Republican Party, and then the Democratic Party split off into two, and we had the Democratic Party and a Progressive Party.
Right.
I just think that would be an interesting scenario if it were to happen.
I'd like to see us get more. That would be the first step, maybe, in getting us toward a parliamentary form of government where a vote of no confidence would require the government to declare itself out of office and hold new elections and do it all within 90 days. I'm starting to get a lot of static there, Mark, but thanks. I do appreciate you checking in. I think a parliamentary form of government, especially in a country like the United States now, would make so much more sense. That way the fascists could have their own party, and they could probably declare themselves to be fascists, like so many parties in Europe, except in Germany, where they're outlawed. But you have fascist parties in various countries across the continent, and they identify themselves. I mean, they may have an interesting name, like the Nationalist Party, but when you go to their websites, if you speak the language, you will find that they call themselves fascists. They don't have any problem with it. But a parliamentary form of government here would be, I think, much more interesting, and certainly would, would possibly get things done a lot more efficiently. What did we spend, or what was spent on the last presidential election? How many hundreds of millions of dollars? Or was it in the billions? We're probably in the billions now. Eric is in Nashville. Hi, Eric. We'll try it again.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
I'm okay.
Sorry, I had the phone down, but I'm going to try to talk quick because I'm so bottled up and get frustrated.
I hear you.
First time talking to you, but listen to your show all the time. I love your passion because I'm the way I am. Actually, from New Orleans, Katrina Decker. We've been here 4 years, 15-year mm-hmm. school teacher with a master's plus 30, and I understand what's going on.
Right.
The first question, Mike, is that had a professor, her passion was operative words, and her roommate was Barbara Eden. And this woman was so interesting, and she really got us to understand that operative words are used to one as a form of indoctrination to get people to do what you want to do. And I see it done on the Republican side all the time, especially
right.
with Frank Lutz.
Right. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So what happens is that, number one, I kept saying over and over and tried to get my point across is that where's the lesson plan with Obama? When I tried to say, and I got attacked on Randy Rhoads' show, is that get rid of the word public option, the operative word public. The right wingers are going to take it, and they were very effective in doing it to make it look like a bad thing,
mm-hmm.
even though it's two meanings. But however, they were showing the University of Chicago's emergency room with people all over the floor talking
mm-hmm.
to this woman. Of course, they were black.
Mm-hmm.
And, I can't get help with my baby. He's bleeding. The pit bull had bit him. I got to go a distance in order to get him treatment.
Mm-hmm.
It should have been, Mike, from the very beginning, is health care insurance reform
sure.
that is stopping us from getting an excellent health care that we have in the United States.
Right.
And what I would have countered when they say, how are you going to pay for it? How are you going to pay for it? Our counter should be, look, admit it. We know that we got to pay for this. And we know that temporarily it's going to be a deficit. But do you think about any money or how much something is going to cost when your ass is hurting going to an emergency room and you're very sick? You're thinking about one thing. I need help.
Or when your mama is dying of cancer, you're not going to stand around and talk about, well, now, wait a second. I really, you want help. Absolutely. I hear you, Eric. I agree.
And I got something else, Mike, that's very interesting. And I'm trying to get Ed Schultz because he's passionate too. Of course, you know that the right wingers are coming out and they're very hawkish on this tort reform,
mm-hmm.
which is medical malpractice.
Mm-hmm.
you're talking to somebody, my name, I'll give you my full name, Eric Dubuclay. I was in a 16-year successful medical malpractice when my wife's cardiac arrest on a delivery table in 1978.
Mm-hmm.
The model that they're talking about when they say, oh, Texas is trying that model, Louisiana has been using that model since 1972. It's called the Patient Compensation Fund. Mm-hmm. And what it does is this, is that if you are a member of the Patient Compensation Fund, the physician, he purchases a policy for the first $100,000, and then he pays a premium to the Patient Compensation Fund for an additional $400,000, which gives him a cap of $500,000.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of injury or death, that's the maximum. However, the protection they have is, one, you cannot sue a doctor without going before the medical review panel, which will be three physicians, experts in that area, and you can bet your ass you're going to come back unless the left leg is off and the right one should have been off. You're going to lose the medical review panel.
Right.
And what's right off the bat, they have three medical experts against you. Then the way they word it is that after review, they give you a whole synopsis, and after careful review, we conclude that the physicians and all medical personnel acted well within the standard of care, not only in the community, but across the country.
Mm.
So now, where does that leave you? Okay, leaves you now, you can sue to go into court and fight it. However, this is why I had a professor of tort who taught at Loyola University in New Orleans, Frederick Josephus, and he had the money and he used the case as a test case. And one of them is that he tried to attack, and this is where I say it would stop him. He tried to attack and say that the patient compensation fund was unconstitutional.
Mm-hmm.
So it got up to the Louisiana Supreme Court that the ruling was that it's not unconstitutional. I'm coming up against the break.
Yes, sir. Well, first of all, I don't think what you suggested on a different radio program is out of line at all. I think you make a lot of sense. Eric, interesting story. I appreciate you checking in, pal. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Fun evening, wasn't it? Thanks to the people who made a contribution in further poisoning the airwaves with liberal nonsense. That would be Sharon Gordy, Bruce Enberg, Kate Petrini, Bob Alexander, Bridget Wolf, Ben Birch, our technical advisor, and our executive producer is Kathy Bay. You people belong in jail, every one of you. In eight states and the District of Columbia, you want to know how maddening this stuff is. You want further proof you live in an asylum, and so do I. And that most of the inmates are these right wing crazy teabagging freaks. In eight states and the District of Columbia, Being the victim of domestic violence is considered a pre-existing condition by insurance companies. You get that? Getting beaten up by your spouse, and in let's be gender specific, being beaten up by your husband is a pre-existing condition. Ryan Grimm writing at the at Huffington Post, under the logic, quote, of the insurance industry, it makes perfect sense. If you're in a marriage with someone who has beaten you in the past, you're more likely to get beaten again than the average person, are therefore more expensive to insure. Of course, in human terms, it's a second punishment for a victim of domestic violence. In 2006, Democrats tried to end this nonsense. An amendment introduced by Senator Patty Murray, Democrat of Washington, now a member of leadership, split the Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions Committee 10 to 10. The tie meant that the measure failed. She introduced the amendment. She tried. All 10 no votes were Republicans, of course, including the Republican from Wyoming, Mike Enzi, who coincidentally is or was or whatever a member of this ridiculously termed Gang of Six on the Finance Committee, who were pretending to hash out a bipartisan bill. There was no intent to do that whatsoever. Baucus knew it. Baucus is as big of a whore, no offense to sex workers, as any Republican. What has he gotten in how many years? A million and a half dollars from the very industry that should be torn to pieces and replaced with single payer. So, you know, let's not kid ourselves. The Gang of Six was a joke, a laugh, and Baucus knew it, and everybody else knew it. But Mike Enzi was a member of that group on the Finance Committee. And at the time that Patty Murray's amendment was defeated, Enzi defended his vote by saying that such regulations could increase the price of insurance and make it out of reach for more people. What he really meant was, look, goddammit, what's wrong with a husband beating up his wife? You got a problem with that? It's in the Bible. Muslims do it. Orthodox Jews do it. Or they're allowed to. I don't know how many do it. Christians are allowed to do it. So an attempt to remove domestic violence as a pre-existing condition, all 10 Republicans on this committee said, nah, we're going to leave it just like it is. Domestic violence is a pre-existing condition. This is what these pigs are like. This is what religion will do. This is what all three religions, peoples of the book, this is what they subscribe to. But I think it's probably a toss-up between which cult practices it more enthusiastically. Is it the Islamic cult or the Christian cult? And don't forget, all three of these religions are based on the assumption that woman was the originator of evil on this planet anyway. So why shouldn't she be have the hell beaten out of her whenever her husband feels like it, right? Why shouldn't she? Sick, sick, sick. And you know, I still get emails, not very many anymore, but I get emails and be, how can you be an atheist? Are you out of your goddamn mind? How can anybody believe this stuff? I'm sorry, if you really do believe it and really live the teachings of Muhammad or the teachings of Jesus or the teachings of a number of Jewish philosophers, if you really do that, okay, then you don't fall into the category of hypocrisy, do you? But you, my friend, are in the distinct minority, whether you're Jew, Muslim, or Christian. If you practice, really practice, the teachings of your avatar, you're in a distinct minority. On the other hand, Judaism that spawned the other two religions is pretty violent, isn't it? How long has it been since you read the book of Leviticus? Deuteronomy, Numbers, Joshua, Judges. Huh? All right, enough Bible. Hey, listen, thanks for hanging out tonight. Sorry if I bummed you out. I'll try to make up for it tomorrow night. I'll see you then. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.